worship's turned to number 550. This morning, to continue our journey through the book of Romans, today we come to chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. Last week we left off in verse 7. We pick up continuing this chapter, verse 8 through 14. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. The scripture declares, Paul writing, it says, now if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die no longer, die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but are under grace. Here to read in God's word, his blessing God's upon it, shall we pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can gather together this morning, that you are the God of life, you are the God of liberty, you are the God, Lord, of salvation. And Father, we thank you that you are the one who gives us hope. Lord, we thank you for your word that continues to challenge us and teach us and instruct us and equip us. And Father, I pray that through your word this morning, you would again encourage our hearts. Lord, show us how we can live more faithfully and effectively for you today as your believers and as your disciples. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I love history, and I know many of you do too. And many of you have had the opportunity to go to Williamsburg. Williamsburg, Virginia is one of my favorite places I've gone to for history. Of course, Philadelphia. But what's neat about Williamsburg is walking in the footsteps and walking in the place where many of our founders, many of the people that God had used and instilled liberty in their heart and our nation, walked. There in Williamsburg, where they debated in the Capitol about when Virginia declaring their independence, where Patrick Henry gave that fiery speech, give me liberty or give me death, and where Freedom's Pathway began there in Williamsburg, eventually moving on to Philadelphia, where the Constitutional Congress gathered together and in session declared our independence, went out and rang that Liberty Bell and said, freedom is born. And the pathway to freedom that began there in Williamsburg continued on and continues to us. But really, the pathway to real freedom this morning that we celebrate, as we honor America, but we continue celebrating really through Christ. The pathway to real freedom begins not in Williamsburg or not in Philadelphia, but it begins somewhere else. The path to real freedom begins at the cross. It is at the cross that we experience real freedom and liberty and being set free from what really enslaved us. And what really was a tyrant over us, not England, but Satan. And the bondage and slavery to sin that was broken by Jesus on the cross. And that is really what we celebrate, is our independence from sin and our dependence on Jesus. As we come to this part of the book of Romans, as we saw last week, Paul is beginning a new division in the book, which he began in chapter 6. A new division, which takes us chapter 6 through chapter 8, which is focusing in on how this righteousness that he's been describing for us is applied to our life through Christ, through living, through what we call sanctification, or being growing in to become more like Jesus. We had seen how that righteousness was needed, how God provided it through Christ, and how we have been just and made right by our faith. And now we come into this section, how this righteousness is lived out and developed in our life through sanctification, through growing to become more like Christ. And I would say it's becoming what God has declared us to be. And that God has declared us to be holy in his sight. And this section deals with how we become that way in our life practically. And it's an ongoing process that will never be fulfilled until the day Jesus takes us home, but it's a continual process of Christian growth and development. This morning, Paul tells us that there's three steps that we need to take on this pathway to freedom. Pathway to become more like Christ. And the freedom he's talking about is how we've been set free from sin and its power and control over us. That we were saved, we were made right before God, but we still struggle with sin in our life. You and I, when we were saved, don't you wish when we were saved we didn't have to struggle with sin anymore? Chapter 7 is going to tell us all about that when we get there. An inward struggle that Paul continued to have. And we're still going to struggle with sin. It's always going to be there in our life. But how do we gain victory? How do we gain freedom from its power, from its control over you and me? That's what we're going to discover this morning. Three steps on freedom's pathway that we need to take in order to be truly set free this morning. And the first step in that pathway is to consider yourself dead. Paul said that's where it begins, by considering ourselves, our old nature, dead, crucified, and buried with Jesus on the cross. Notice what he says in verses 8 again. He says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died once and for all. The life he lives to God. Paul says we need to consider our old nature, the person you and I were before you were saved, the person we were born into sin, that all of us were born in that sin nature, and it was put on the cross and crucified with Jesus. We saw that last week, and when Jesus died, you and I died with him on the cross, buried with him, raised again in newness of life. That means that you and I need to see yourself as God sees you. And that's how we consider ourselves. That is to see yourself as God sees you when he looks at you. Notice verse 11. He says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is how God sees you as a believer, as his child. He looks at you, and he sees you dead in your sin, but alive through Christ. To be able to be set free from our sin, the first step is to consider yourself dead, to see yourself in the same way that God does. That word consider or count, maybe in other translations, maybe your Bible says reckon. Anybody here have reckon there in verse 11? Sometimes it may say reckon or count. What that word means, it means to compute, calculate, take into account, or consider. It's an accounting term. That's where it comes from. It comes from the field of accounting. And this word is an accounting term that deals with reality. It deals with the reality fact. And if I reckon or consider or count my bank account, and I found out that I have $100 in my bank account, that is what I have. And if I believe anything other than that, I'm going to deceive myself, because when I reckon it and come to an accounting, or an accountant tells you how much you have, that's what you have. And if you think you have anything other than what the accountant tells you, then we're deceived. The word deals more with fact and reality than with supposition of feelings, or opinions. He's saying sometimes we may suppose or feel one way. We may not feel sometimes that our old nature is dead, or that we're saved. But Paul says, in the reality, that's the way it is. You and I died with Jesus on the cross, and realizing that reality, that is what is true of you. And that's the first step coming to this point of real freedom and living in victory over sin and not being tripped up in our life every day. God sees you as dead to sin, and he sees you as alive in him. This is a reality, and when Jesus died, you died with him. Your old life was nailed to the cross, and when Jesus rose, you rose with him, and that resurrection power of Jesus that brought him to the grave is at work in your very life. Isn't that amazing? And that's what we got to remember, and that first step to freedom. We die. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So consider yourself dead. Second step on freedom's pathway is to offer yourself to God. Notice what he says in verse 12 through 13. Therefore is the conclusion. Paul's saying, on the basis of this, because you've been crucified with Christ, because the old nature is dead, therefore, don't let sin reign in your body anymore, so that you obey its evil desires, and do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Offering yourself to God. Now, it seems like an oxymoron that in order to be free, you and I need to surrender our freedom. Doesn't that seem strange? If we want to be free, we got to surrender our freedom. That seems like, that doesn't make sense. But that's how God's kingdom is. God's kingdom often turns things upside down from what we expect. And the way of freedom is the way of surrender. The way to true liberty is to sacrifice that liberty. Christ, and to offer ourselves to him. That means do not let Jesus reign and not sin. To let Jesus reign and not sin in our life. He says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you desire it. What is really reigning or ruling in our heart and our life? As believers, Jesus is sovereign. He's sovereign over all things, and he should be sovereign in your life and mine, that he should be reigning in the heart and the throne of our life. Paul said, don't let sin take up a place on this realm. Don't let our will, our purpose, our passions be self be on that throne. Because when we let self be on that throne and rule on our heart, our life, that's when things go off track. But when Jesus reigns there, as we offer ourselves to him, that's how that happens. Offering the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, he tells us. Now he says, don't offer yourself as an instrument of wickedness. Instead, offer yourself as an instrument of righteousness. He gives us comparison. And he uses our body as it refers to our bodies as an instrument. An instrument is a vessel. This morning you heard Deb and Kim and Dhamma playing instruments. And the trumpet, the flute, and the organ or piano, Did they have the power to play on their own? No, they're only an instrument. They're only a vehicle. But it's in the hands of the person who uses it that becomes something beautiful and valuable in the hand of those who surrender it and use it. An instrument is only a vehicle or vessel. It's only can be used to either good or bad. In the hands of a master craftsman, or a musician, it makes all the difference. Give you some examples. Laser. A laser beam can be used by an eye surgeon to do delicate surgery on your eyes. And those of us who have had that done. I mean, it's how they can use a laser beam and enhance and just with delicate precision use it for something good. Or you can take a laser beam and use it for destruction. Or a tool in the hands of a master craftsman can be used to make something beautiful, or something, or a carpenter who can use a tool to build, or a contractor who can use a tool to build a house. A tool in the hand of a master craftsman is a wonderful thing. A tool in my hand, on the other hand, that's not a good idea. You want a tool in my hand or a hammer in my hand? It's not a good idea. It's how it's used, who we surrender it to. An instrument in the hands of a master craftsman makes a beautiful sound. And you've ever heard that poem about the old violin, where there's this violin that to be held at the auction, and everything was sold at the end of the day except this old violin that looked like nobody wanted it. And they held it up, the auctioneer held it up, and he said, what's my bid for this old violin? $2, $3, $4, $3, $1. Nobody wanted it. It looked useless. It looked valueless. And nobody wanted to buy it. And the auctioneer said, come on, we've got to end this auction. Somebody, a dollar, anything for this auction. It's fine, but nobody wanted it. Finally, from the back of the crowd, this old man came out. And he picked up the violin. He dusted off the strings. And he played a melody that was beautiful. And the auctioneer said, okay, now what's my bid for this old violin? $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. And it went for a high price. And people said, we don't understand. What made the difference? And the auctioneer said it was the touch of the master's hand. It was how it was used that makes a difference. An instrument in the hands of a kid learning to play sounds a lot more different than an instrument in the hands of an accomplished musician. It's how it's used or surrendered. A saxophone, who I used to play, Kim's laughing, I used to play saxophone in high school in band. I haven't played it since. But a saxophone in the hands of Kenny G would sound a lot different than a saxophone in my hands. Especially now. My armature is completely shot. You would hear nothing but squeaking. So it says we need to offer our body to the Lord as a vessel of righteousness to Him. Not to sin, not to our will, but using our body to Him for His glory, for His honor, to live according to His purpose and will, to make Him smile. We play a melody out of our life to honoring Him, to letting Him play through us, through His Spirit's control, as we yield our life to Him, the master musician, the master craftsman, and our body becomes nothing more than a vessel through which He works. And how is Jesus using you? Are you offering your body to Him as a vessel for His glory, for His honor, to play beautiful music through, to build something, a masterpiece through you, as He works through us? So don't offer our bodies to sin, but offer it instead to God's glory, to Him honor. Now, as we make that offering to Him, we need to offer you and I, we need to offer ourselves daily, not just once. Don't you wish that we could come to the Lord and we could surrender everything to Him and say, Lord, I surrender it to You. I give myself to You, and we have to do it once now to the end of the struggle. Don't you wish it'd be like that? I do. But it doesn't work that way in our life. We have to daily surrender ourselves to the Lord again. That's why Jesus said if we want to be His disciple, we need to pick up His cross. How many times did He say, die to ourselves daily and pick up that cross and follow Him? It's not a once and done offering. I wish it was. But it's a daily surrender as we present ourselves to God and let His beauty of His Spirit play through us as an instrument of praise to Him. St. Francis of Assisi, many, many years ago in the 1400s, wrote that hymn that's in our hymn book, Lord, make me an instrument of Thy peace. And he understood that as we surrender our bodies, our will, our mind, our emotion, our entire being to Him. Freedom's pathway begins by considering yourself dead. The next step is to offer yourself to God. And third step in freedom's pathway is to declare yourself free. To declare yourself free, to realize that's who you are, and declare that, and live in that, and believe that. Not just say it, but actually believe it in your life and put that into practice. Notice verse 14. He says, for sin shall not be your master anymore, because you are not under law, but praise God, under grace. Declaring yourself for who you are in Jesus. God sees you as dead. You offer yourself to Him and declare yourself free, that sin is no longer my master anymore. I am not bound to it. It is not my servant. I serve God. And I live for Him. Christ has set us free from the power of sin. So we need to live like it, he says in verse 14. For sin shall not be your master. We need to live like it. The scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is found, there is liberty. Galatians 5, chapter 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, but live in the freedom that God has given us. Galatians 5, 13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. There it is. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Declare yourself for who you are in Christ. And we may we not think of freedom as a right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right. And to live in a way as a servant of God who gave us himself for us. I come across a story this week that sin is no longer our master, and we need to stop living like a slave. He set us free. We shouldn't be enslaved by sin anymore and think, oh, I come across a story this week where this, back in the days of slavery in our country, where a man was a slave and he was taken from his slave owner that he had. He was taken to the open market, to the slave market. He was sold. And he was put up on the slave auction block and he was sold for a price. And his new master bought him. It's a slave auction. And first thing he did after he bought him was he set him free. And he gave him his freedom. And you would have thought the slave would have been overjoyed and happy that he had been set free. He had been bought and paid for and set free. And that's what Jesus did for us. He bought and paid for us on the cross and he set us free from the power and the penalty of sin. And he paid for it and said, you are free. Praise God. And that's what Jesus did. But know what the slave did with his freedom? He didn't know what to do. He had been born a slave. He lived all his life in slavery. He didn't know what else to do. So he asked his new owner, can you make me a slave again? I don't know anything else to do except slavery. That's all I know. So can you make me a slave again? So his new owner said, okay, fine. And he put him back in bondage of slavery. And, you know, Satan will do that for us, too. I mean, he'll put us back in bondage if we allow him. But Christ has paid the price and set you and I free, and we need to declare our freedom. Sin no longer is our master. Jesus is, right? And he's the one we serve. And we need to declare because we need to believe our reality. The reality of how God sees us. Because sometimes Satan can make us believe wrongly and make us think we can still live like a slave, we're still living like a slave. And we begin to live that way. And we begin to have that mindset. Let me illustrate it with a story. When I was in high school, and I told you I was in the band, I played saxophone. Haven't played it since college days. And I really like to be in the band because I like to go to the football games. And so I got to go to the football games every week and got to go on the band trips. And I was in it for that part of it, the fun, you know. And I, in my position as a saxophone player, I was the last chair in the saxophone section. The very last one. And I was in the concert band. I was the last chair in the concert band. I wasn't even good enough to be in the symphonic band. And so I was last chair. And because I began to believe that because I was last chair, I was not that good. And that became my reality, and I lived that way. I didn't try to improve myself. I didn't try to make myself better than try to get out of last chair and to maybe move up higher position. I just accepted that as my reality. When I'm last chair, that's all I'll ever be. I'm not good. This is what I am. And I lived that way. You know, and living in bondage. And that's what wrong thinking can do. And it's the same way in our life. Satan can say, you know, you're never going to convict you of it as sin. It's going to continue to trip you up. You're never going to get delivered from it. You might as well just continue to do it. And live in slavery. No, Christ set us free. Right? He paid the price. declare who you are, Jesus, and he set us free. Our thinking makes a difference. He set us free from the power of sin. We need to live like it. And Christ set us free from the penalty of sin. So we need to rejoice. Notice what he said in the last part of verse 14. Sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but are under what? Grace. We're under grace now. And what a difference it is under the grace of Jesus to live under the graces that are under the law. And if we're under grace, we have been set free from the penalty of sin. We've been set free from the curse of the law. We have been set free from that. It no longer has mastery over us anymore. And we can rejoice because we live with God's grace. So much freeing, so much more liberating to live with under grace than under law. And what the difference is that Christ has made for us. So as we celebrate the freedom of our nation and those who walk freedom's pathway, that we can be free as Americans. More importantly, we have that freedom's pathway that we have started at the cross through Jesus. That we are set free. Sin is no longer our master. We were under Christ. You consider yourself dead. Offer yourself to him daily. And declare yourself free as God sees you in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. It is so practical for our living, as we, especially in this part of the book of Romans, and dealing with Christian living and how we can grow in our faith and become the righteousness of God applied in our life, living out every day. So, Lord, help us to live as you have declared us to be, that we are not slaves to sin anymore. Sin is no longer our master. You are. Lord, you have set us free from its power and its control over us. And you nailed it to the cross with you. And so, Father, our old life has died. We have new life now. And so, Lord, we are new creations and creatures in you. So help us, Lord, to live that way, offering ourselves to you each and every day as an instrument, as a vessel for your glory, for your beauty, your mastery to be seen and played in through us. And use our lives, Lord, in that way for you today. So, Lord, thank you for your word that speaks to us, that teaches and instructs us. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the book of Romans that continues to change us and to show us, Lord, how we can be right in a world that is so desperately gone wrong. And what you've done and continue to do for us. So, Lord, thank you for the true freedom that we find in you that was purchased on the cross for us through the blood of your Son. And that death, and we've been there crucified with you, and we have that newness of life. We thank you for what you've done, and we continue to make you renew yourself within us as we live for you daily. We ask this.